Okay, so last week, or last month actually, we were reading through those two, the two prophets, Joel and Zephaniah. And then we were talking about how it's God's word to his people through Joel and Zephaniah. And they were prophets, right? And that's what that meant, is they were speaking God's words. And I know in the past we talked about how everything in the Bible is really God's words to us and to his people at that time. And it's all God's words, but it's really going to be, I'm kind of excited for John, because even though the whole Bible is authoritative and it all is God speaking to us, the book of John actually has Jesus' literal words that he said when he was on earth. So the whole Bible is God's word, but this is like extra cool because Jesus actually said these things with his mouth while he was on earth. So I don't know. I'm pretty excited for the month, because we're actually going to look at what Jesus really was saying to his followers when he came and started his work on earth. So I'm pretty excited about that. I hope you guys kind of catch that too. And okay, so what I was going to say is the book of John is basically just one of Jesus' followers. His name was John, and he wrote a book after Jesus died, and it was basically what Jesus did when he was on earth. And that's what it is. So we kind of have a snapshot of a look at Jesus' life on earth. And there's a couple big things we want to kind of focus on, I guess, when we're reading through it. There's like each person, there's four different people who wrote books about Jesus when he was on earth. They're called the Gospels. They're the first four books in the New Testament. It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're named after the people who wrote them. So John is one of those. And each person, it's all God speaking through them, but each person focuses kind of on different aspects of Jesus. So they all tell very similar, they all tell some of the same stories. Some of them say things that other ones don't, but it's all the same thing. It's all talking about Jesus' life. But like, okay, so basically each person kind of gives it a little bit different focus. And the focus we want to kind of focus on in John is, number one, basically who Jesus is. Kind of the identity of Jesus and what it says about him. And then the second part of that is, once you see what it says about him, how do we respond to that? What do we do when we really see what Jesus is, you know? So I got a question for you guys to start with. And you don't have to answer this out loud if you want. You can just think about it. If you want to answer out loud, fine. That's cool too, but you don't have to. For yourselves, and like for myself, I'll think about it too. How have you guys responded to Jesus in the past, or how are you responding to Jesus right now? So what I'm saying is, like, when you've heard things about God, when you've heard Jesus, maybe things from the Bible about Jesus, what has it made you think, and then what have you done as a response to that? Just kind of think about it. If you want to say it, yeah. If you want to say it, you can. But otherwise, you can think about it. Okay, but how do you respond to that? Like, what does that make you, like, you know that, like, you've heard that, right? But then, okay, so like fear, is that what you're saying? Okay, that makes sense, I guess. Okay, so just kind of think about like, what's our tendency? So maybe that's one thing that you tend to do, and I think maybe, you know, I'm sure you're not the only person that feels that way, you know, I mean, I think when you really think about it, God, there's like a God who created us, and we're little people he created. It's like, oh man, it kind of puts it in perspective a little bit, and it might be a little scary. But I think in general, I think it's safe to say we don't really completely know how to deal with Jesus and how to settle in our minds what to do with him and what to do with the fact that there's a God who created us. Because it's a little bit easier, I guess, to look at just our lives and say, okay, we know how to deal with our lives a little bit better. Even then, you know, it's hard to deal with our lives sometimes. When we think about, okay, there's a God who created us, and what do we do with that, you know? What do we do with that knowledge? And I know one thing that is my tendency sometimes, well, just naturally in life, is I like to basically do what I want to do, and I don't really enjoy having other people tell me what I have to do or how I have to do certain things. Like, if there's something I have to do, yeah, I mean, I think inside of everyone that's in there, maybe it's stronger in different people, and maybe it's going to be stronger in different periods of your life. There's certain people you really don't like hearing, you know, what to do from. But I think that's inside of all of us. And so I think that applies to God. Sometimes, you know, when we hear what's in the Bible, and what God says, a lot of times it's like, I don't really want to hear that, and I don't really want to do what he says, because I want to be the one deciding. I want to be my boss. And in kind of a sense, we want to be our own God. We want to be the one who's in charge. At least that's my tendency sometimes. So with that in mind, one result would be that you kind of avoid God, you know? It's like, if there's somebody you don't want to hear what they're going to tell you, you kind of avoid them so you don't have to have them tell you stuff, you know? And I think that's something we could tend to do with God. And also, if we do say yes to God, we say, okay, I will do whatever you say, we don't really always truly do that. And something we're going to kind of look at in the rest of the month is how we really do say yes to God, the different ways we do. And so some of the ways you would truly say yes to God is, you know, by completely believing him, by loving him and giving your life, giving everything you are to follow God and to make him your king, and then, and making him your Lord. So that's kind of what truly following him and truly saying yes to him is. And so I think our natural tendency is to either maybe avoid God because we don't really want to be told what to do, or we say, okay, there is a God, and so we turn to like religion, and we think that is obeying him, and that is saying yes to him and accepting him is like basic religion, you know, where you say, okay, you know, I go to church and maybe I've been baptized and I try to live a good life, you know. You try to, like, what are things that you would think are the normal things that come along with religion? What are like the basic things with religion? Maybe Christianity, maybe other religions too, just in general. Okay, so don't do bad things, right? Go to church. Go to church, which is good, but, right, read the Bible. So, like, go to church, don't do bad things, do some good things, kind of appease God, right? You're saying, I know you're there, so I'll do some stuff for you. I won't do some bad things, I will do some good things, but that's not really giving everything to God. It's not saying, you know what, you're the reason I'm alive, and you know that the way I'm really going to have the most fulfilled life is by living for you and that relationship with you, being so close to you. But we don't really go to that extreme. We just say, okay, I'll obey you some, you know, I'll go to church on Sunday. I mean, that's a couple hours a week, right? It's not really your life. So I guess think for yourselves, what's the time for you, something that has happened in your life where you've kind of avoided God? Where you kind of knew, maybe something you knew, just maybe you didn't hear from the Bible, and there's something you knew you weren't supposed to do, or something you felt inside you need to do, and maybe it was just something God put there, just that knowledge. Maybe it didn't come from, you know, from a sermon or from somebody saying, okay, the Bible says this, but you just knew inside, or maybe it was, you know, from being taught by somebody. So can you think of any time where you have kind of said, you know what, that's what God wants for me, and I'm not really going to do that because that doesn't look like it's going to be fun, or it looks like it's going to hurt, you know? Can you think of any time just for yourself where that's been the case? And maybe another thing we think about is how maybe religion in your life, turning to religion instead of God, has really kept you maybe from getting close to God. Can you think of anything for yourself like that? I think the conclusion is we never really feel completely settled with God. We don't really feel completely right with Jesus. And what we're going to kind of look at today is that Jesus really asks us to make a decision, and either to decide that we're going to go 100% with him and into a relationship with him, or we're going to turn away and we're going to say, you know what, that's not for me. Maybe I think that's crazy. I don't even believe that. We're going to look at a story now that basically that's what Jesus said, is you have to make a decision. And do you have that going?
Trust me that I'm saying what's really in the Bible.
Alright, so John chapter 6. Basically, before this, I'm going to kind of tell you what was happening before this, and then I'm going to read a section where Jesus was kind of talking to him. So Jesus was going through Judea, that kind of area where God's people were, the Israelites lived, and he was teaching them. And at one point, he got basically out kind of in the middle of nowhere. There weren't really any towns around, and a lot of people had followed him out there to listen to him. And he taught them during the day, and then it got, you know, to the evening time, you know, when you usually have dinner, and everyone was getting hungry, and they were out in the middle of nowhere, there was no food for anyone. And so his followers, his disciples came to him and said, okay, we're out in the middle of nowhere, these people are getting hungry, what are we going to do? And Jesus said, well, do you have anything? And so they brought him one person had like basically a lunchbox, so he had like 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, I think. So not that much food. And there were like 5,000 people is what it says. There were 5,000 men out there that had followed Jesus and were listening to him. So a lot of people, not very much food. And Jesus said, okay, that's good enough. And he prayed. And he started just handing out the food. And it was miraculous because he started with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he ended up feeding everybody with that food. And it's not like everybody got a tiny little crumb. It was that he just created food, basically, for them. So he did that. Everyone was just, you know, amazed, obviously, because they started with, you know, enough food you could fit in a basket, and then he fed 5,000 people with it. And then after that, Jesus went up on a mountainside, and he was praying, and his disciples went across the lake. There was just this big, really big lake right there where they were at. And in the middle of the night, there was a storm while his disciples were in the boat going across the lake. And Jesus, they thought they were going to drown. And Jesus came walking on the water. You might have heard of that story, maybe not, maybe so, where Jesus came and he was like walking on the water. And he came over to the boat, and as soon as he got there, the storm basically ended. He told the storm to end, and it was peaceful, and they got where they were going. The next day, the people were like, where'd Jesus go? Because they knew he hadn't gotten in the boat with his disciples, and they were wondering where he was, and some other people came from where the disciples had gone, and they said, okay, he's over there. So all the people got into these boats, and they went over and followed him. When they found him, they asked him, you know, how'd you get here, what's going on, and they basically asked him for, it's okay. Just kidding, I don't care. Doesn't bother anyone. So they asked him, you know, basically again they asked him for a miraculous sign, and he had just fed everybody, all these 5,000 people, and done this miraculous sign. But they wanted him to show them something to prove that he was God. And he said, well, you know, the reason you're here and you're following me is because I fed you last night, and you were able to eat, and you were fulfilled. Because we all know we have this need for food, right? We're eating snacks. Why? Because we need food to survive, you know? And everybody knows that. Everyone knows what that feeling is like to be hungry. And he talked about how we all have this feeling to eat. And really what he says is that he is this food that if you eat from Jesus, this is what he tells them, is that if you eat Jesus, if you eat his flesh and drink his blood, you'll never be hungry again. Does that sound a little weird to you guys? It sounded really weird to them too, actually. People heard him and they were like, oh, this is kind of weird. I don't really know if I follow where this guy's going with this, you know? Because it sounds pretty weird. Well, that's what he said. I'll actually read it for you here. Okay. So verse 53 says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides or lives in me, and I in him. Does it sound weird? Yes, it does sound weird. What would you guys guess? Was he meaning that like literally, or was he meaning that? Okay. I think there's some truth. I think there's some truth in what you guys are saying. But initially, you hear this, and it's like, well, that's kind of crazy. And he meant for it to be crazy, because it was like he wanted to put something crazy and put something like extreme in front of them and say, this is what I'm offering. And it's not like a half and half thing where you can, you know, be a Christian, you know, for a couple hours a week on Sunday, and you can say that, you can say, okay, I'm a Christian a couple hours on Sunday, therefore I am, you know, I'm good with God and everything's good. He's kind of putting it forward saying, you know, it's kind of all or nothing. Either you eat me or not. You know, if you eat me, you're alive in me then. If not, you're not, you know? And so he puts this before them. It's kind of extreme. It's kind of crazy. So obviously the people were a little bit, a little wondering about this. And so I'm going to read what happens next. It says, when many of his disciples heard it, they said, this is a hard saying. Who can listen to it? So he's saying, this is kind of crazy. I don't know if I can really take this in and believe it. But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, do you take offense at this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe, and who it was who would betray him. And he said, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by my Father." So what he's saying is, he's talking to me, saying, "So this is hard for you to believe. You don't like this. Well, what if you saw me go back up to heaven, go back to where I was before?" But basically, what he's saying is, if this is hard for you to believe, I mean, would seeing me go back to heaven change it? If you really saw me going back to heaven, would you even believe that, you know? And then he says, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. So Jesus puts very clearly before him, he says, yeah, it is kind of crazy. I understand this is hard for you to believe, but do you or not? Do you want to, some people have left, but what about you guys? He was talking to like these 12 people that he had chosen out, his 12 disciples. And he basically chosen these people to carry on his work, and he was going to pour his life into them and teach them while he was on earth. And then later on, these people would be the ones who would spread his kingdom across the earth. So he looks at them and he says, what about you guys? Can you stomach this, basically? Can you take this and say, yeah, I believe it? Or are you going to take it and say, you know what, I can't handle this. This is kind of crazy. I'm going to go do something else. I can't deal with it. And that's what he put before them. It was very clear. It was, you know, you can make a decision whether you're going to accept it or not. You don't have to believe what Jesus says about himself. You can say, all of this is something made up, or you can say, well, I might have said that, but I don't believe it. You know, either way, I mean, he says that pretty clearly. It's, you can make a choice to believe it or not. So that's what he was saying to them, and to saying to all of his followers. And I think he says the same thing to us. And I want to go through and read a few more places. It's probably about 8 places, maybe 10. And it's just short things that Jesus said about himself, or that people said about him in the Bible, that, or not in the Bible, just specifically in John, that are kind of extreme, and kind of make us say, are we going to believe that or not? Because if we do believe it, there's consequences, and it's going to change. If you truly believe it and say, yeah, that it's true, the only really option and result of that is to then change your life and basically turn and follow God and make a decision to have a relationship with him. Otherwise, you can say, you know what, that's not true. Okay, so first place I want to look at is John chapter 1, verse 29. If I can find it, I'll read it anyway. Okay, it says, the next day, he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Okay, the person who's saying this is a guy named John. It's not the one who wrote the book of John, it's another one. And he was the guy who came basically before Jesus to kind of get everybody ready for Jesus. And what he says is, "Look, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." What's he talking about with a lamb taking away sin? Okay. Back before Jesus came, the covenant and the agreement that they had between God was, if they sinned, they would sacrifice animals to God, like a lamb, and that would basically, because of that sacrifice, and because they gave something to God, that would forgive them kind of for their sins, and that would kind of wash away their sins. Yeah. Abraham sacrificing Isaac? That is similar, yeah. That was kind of before the agreement was set up with his people, before God gave them the law, and that was what it was called. It was like the law they had to obey. That was before that, and I don't really know for sure if that's exactly why. I think the reason God did that was to kind of see, not to kind of, he did it so that he could see if Abraham loved God more than his son. And the fact that he was going to sacrifice his son showed God that he did. And so God didn't obviously make him kill his son, because that's kind of crazy. Kind of what he did with Jesus, you know. But, you know. So that's what it was. And so he says, you know, John says, here's Jesus, the Lamb of God. So he's saying, the Lamb, the sacrificing Lamb from God, that God's given us, and this Lamb is going to take away not just the sin of Israel, and not just, like, for 1 year, because they had to do every year, they had to sacrifice a Lamb for the sins that they had made, committed that year. He says, this Lamb, this is Jesus, the Lamb of God, that's going to take away the sin of the whole world forever. It's kind of a bold statement, saying that because of Jesus, all of our sins are forgiven and we're saved forever. And then chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Okay, it says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who ascended from heaven, the Son of Man." So what's that saying? Okay, so you're saying only Jesus has... So no one has ascended, which I think means gone up to heaven, except the one who came down from heaven. So he's talking about himself. Jesus is the only person who's come down from heaven, and he's the only one that's going to go back up to heaven like that. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So what he's talking about with Moses is God cursed the Israelites, disobeyed God, and as a result of that, he sent these snakes to go among them, and they would bite people, and they would die. But Moses put up this pole in the middle of this other camp where all the people were, and it had a bronze snake on it. And how it worked is, if anyone got bit by a snake, they could look at the pole, and they'd be okay. And so he's saying that's the same thing Jesus is doing, is he is, we can look to Jesus, because he was raised up on a pole, like when he died on the cross, so we can look to Jesus and be saved and be healed. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." So here again, it's kind of talking about that decision of either saying, okay, what God and what Jesus is saying is true, and I take that, and I'll go with it, and I believe that, or saying, you know what, that's kind of hard for me to believe. You know, saying God became man, and he died, and then he came back to earth, to life, and went back up to heaven, and now I can be forgiven of my sin, and he's the one who said that I have sin to begin with. You know, that whole thing, just saying, okay, yeah, I believe that, or saying, you know, that's kind of stretching. I don't know if I can really buy that. What he says is, you know, our eternal life with God is kind of determined by whether we believe that or not. And then John chapter 4, verse 25 and 26. Says, the woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. So Messiah to them meant like their savior. And so what Jesus is saying is, I'm your savior. I'm the one who can, I think in each of our lives, it's kind of like we look for something to make things better. And he's saying, Jesus is saying, you're looking for something to make things better, to make everything in life right, and make everything work. And I'm the one, I'm the thing you're looking for. John chapter 5, verse 25. Says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What's he talking about? I said, okay, so I'll read it again, and then think about what he's talking about with this. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Can dead people hear? So how's that going to work? Yeah. I think what he's talking about is, okay, we understand, like, physically dead or physically alive, right? But there's another, like, element of dead that it talks about in the Bible. Right, okay, so he's talking about people who are alive, alive with their bodies are alive, but it's like on the inside they're dead. Like, their spirit is dead, they're not full of that life that comes from knowing God. Right. So he's saying when your body's alive, and so when your ears hear the word of God, it's like these words go into you, and if you believe that, you get this new life, and there's like this new life inside you, because your spirit is suddenly becoming alive in a way that it never was before, you know? It's already starting, oh my goodness. It's okay. That's true. Okay, chapter 6, verse 35. I'm going to take my time. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. So this is kind of like what he's talking about in the first section. The first section we read about referring to himself as like food. Basically what he's saying is, yeah, like, we all have that hunger inside of us, and that is, we all want things in life, and we all want, you know, things to be better, and that comes from God, and that satisfaction, that fulfillment is ultimately from Jesus, and that's what he's saying. Chapter 7, verse 37-39. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. So what's he talking about with Jesus being glorified? He's talking about when he died. What happened was basically Jesus died. And he came back to life, and when he did that, he went back to heaven. God says God glorified him and made him basically above everything else, and gave him everything, basically. So that's what he's talking about. And he's saying, like we were just talking about, there's new life that comes from inside of us, and like it overflows, what it says. It's like a fountain inside of us that's flowing, overflows, and never stops. And that's Jesus' spirit inside of us, and God's spirit that becomes alive all of a sudden inside of us when we make that decision, and we decide, yeah, this is true. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to go to Jesus. Okay, John 14, verse 6. This will be the last one. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Okay. No, that was the end of that verse. So each of these things, they're kind of, he's saying, the only way to true life is through me. The only way to God is through Jesus. So these are pretty, each of these things are pretty strong things for him to say. I mean, if I said that about myself, you guys would probably laugh at me. If I was serious about it, and I said, eat my flesh and you'll never be hungry again, you'll have life forever. If I just said, have a bite, you guys would think I was crazy and you would laugh. You're laughing, you know? And it seems like craziness. But when we hear it from God, well, I believe you. but when we hear this from God, he is serious, and it's not really a funny thing, though, because... Okay, let's see this. It's like what he's saying is so crazy that you either say, okay, that's crazy, I don't believe it, or you say, okay, that's true, but there's not really an in-between. You can't say, it might be or might not be. Because really, if you're doing that, you're saying, no, that's not really true. So what Jesus is basically forcing us to do is to make a decision whether we're gonna go for it or not. That's what he's asking us to do, and that's what, in each of these places, when he says these things, and throughout John, when he's talking about himself, when we hear what he is, we're faced with either saying, okay, is this true or is it not? And that's something we do with life, all through life. You know, whenever somebody says something, you're just talking to somebody, you meet somebody, and they say something about themselves, we hear it, and automatically, inside our head, we either say, okay, that's true, and I believe them, or we say, no, they're making that up, and that's crazy, you know? I mean, I think we all do that. That's just the way we work. We either say, it's true, or it's not. The same thing we do with Jesus. We say, is this true, what he's saying, or it's not? I want to kind of clarify what we're saying yes to, is we're deciding either, if it's true, we're saying yes to a relationship with Jesus, and saying, and that's the result, I guess, of saying what he's saying is true. That's kind of what the gospel says, is, you know, we've all rebelled against God, and he offers us that forgiveness and that life with him. Like he's talking about, like, that spring of water. It's like a clean, fresh, new start. And that comes from Jesus, and that comes from him living inside of us, and the fact that he died so that we could be forgiven and have that connection with him that we can't have otherwise. Part of that is, you know, we have to respond. We have to look at what he's saying and say, true or not. So kind of what do we do about that is either basically deciding, you have to decide what you're going to do with Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about the rest of the month is, what do we do? What does it look like to do something with Jesus? How do we do that? How do we respond to him? But first, you got to decide what you're going to do to begin with. If you're going to say it's true, or if you're going to reject it and say, yeah, I don't think so. If you say, yeah, that is true, I do buy that, then basically you're deciding to follow Christ and, you know, repenting from your sin and realizing what he's saying is true and where that puts you, and that puts you in a place away from him, and saying, you know, I believe that, and I'm going to repent from where I am. I'm going to be baptized and follow Christ. If you've already done that, it means continuing to say, you know what he said is true, and I can have real life in him. And that's really the only place I can have life is in Jesus, and I'm going to draw closer to him. I'm going to, like you guys mentioned, reading the Bible earlier, and it's a really good thing, and it's kind of where more life comes from. It's like how we rejuvenate our life. It's in Christ. It's through reading the Bible and praying and talking to him and just becoming closer and closer to God. And there is one other option. What's the other option? It's kind of one of the things we talked about at the beginning, is when he put that question out in front of people and he said, let me find it real quick. Okay, in chapter 6, verse 63, it says, the words I've spoken to you are spirit and life. where there are some of you who do not believe. The other option is saying Jesus is crazy, and what he said is crazy, and I don't know if I even believe he said he was a real person, he really said that. That is another option. And maybe you're going, that's where I'm at. Maybe that is where you're at, and you're saying, I don't know if I can really buy it right now. Where I'm at, I'm okay with my life right now, and I don't see that being where I want to go. I don't want to buy into that, because that sounds crazy. And if that is where you are, I guess, I just want to ask, maybe think about where that leads. If you're saying no to God, what are you saying yes to? Like, what's the alternative? Just think about it for yourself. What is the alternative? And maybe if you say, you know, that's where I am, but I don't know if this is where I want to be, talk to somebody here and have them pray for you. And just pray that God changes their hearts. And I'll be praying for you guys, for everyone here, that for each of you guys and for myself, that God changes our hearts and pulls us toward Him. So maybe spend this week praying for people you know who would say God is, everything Jesus says is crazy and I can't buy it. People in your life that you care about, that you love, you truly love, and you don't want them to, and you want them to have that full life, that life that's inside of them from God. So think about that. Think about what are you going to choose, and pray for people in your life that you care about that need help. Okay, that's pretty much what it is. So now we're going to kind of go back in while there's probably only a song or two left, but even if they're done singing, we can go back in and take communion. And I want to just challenge you guys, maybe pray a little bit together. And like at the beginning, Jesus talked about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and through that is life. And I think what he's saying is, you know, that true life inside of you comes from me. And when we take communion and we eat that cracker and we drink that juice, Jesus says that is remembering the fact that he died for you, and that's taking his body, taking his blood. So do that and think about the fact that he did that so you can know him. And there's true life in that. I don't know, just think about what he did for you so that you could have life. Jesus, thank you for the life you offer us, and I pray that each of our hearts you'd be moving and you would be changing us. If you have already made us alive, Lord, I pray you continue to strengthen that, and you would help us run closer to you, and at the same time pull us near you. If you haven't made that decision yet, Lord, I pray that you would be in the people's hearts that haven't yet and haven't decided that what you say is true, and that you demand things as a result of that. I pray you'd be changing their hearts, and your spirit would just be giving them unrest until they see you, until they know you and have made you their king. I pray for each of us, for all of us, you would just give us a new life and a new hope in you. That's your name, I pray. Amen. And read through John this week, guys, please. Okay.